Good evening. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind, Robert Sager, and Leah. We all live over there?
We are live.
Live. All right. Good. And this is April
26th of 06.
April 26th, 06. And you can join us on the program. We are the Right Wing Radicals. Emphasis on the right. Who believe? The Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. It's dumb to believe you came from a rock 4.6 billion years ago, no matter how much time you give it. Does it be 20 bazillion years? Doesn't matter. You didn't come from a rock. And it's dangerous because that philosophy leads to the thinking that there is no absolute authority anywhere in the universe. Man becomes God. That is dangerous. And that's exactly what led to the thinking of Adolf Hitler and Joseph Stalin and Pol Pot and a host of people who have done lots of mean things in this world, like killed hundreds of millions of people because they thought they were inferior. And we cover all that on our award-winning video series that is from tape number 5 about the dangers of evolution. Tape 1, if you haven't seen our materials, it's 18 hours, talking fast, using lots of pictures, and lots of references, but 18 hours of material on the subject. The new seminar part 2005 edition is available. Finished up in March of 2006, but that's, well, the way it goes sometimes. But you can get that. Part 1 talks about the Big Bang, how it's a big dud, and how the Earth cannot be billions of years old. Part 2 talks about the Garden of Eden. What was it like? Why on Earth did they live to be 900 years old? And Part 3 talks about dinosaurs, how they've always lived with man. They did not live millions of years ago. They've lived with humans all along. They just called them something different. They called them dragons. And there are thousands of legends of people killing dragons. Part 4, one of my favorite, deals with lies in the textbooks. 3 hours just on tape number 4. By the way, I'm going to Minnesota this weekend, Friday. I won't be here live for the broadcast. But I'm speaking at the university up there in St. Cloud, Minnesota. And Minnesota, got to say it right. And yeah, sure, you betcha. And you can come if you'd like. Let's see, it is St. Cloud University in St. Cloud, Minnesota. That's for Friday night. And then Saturday, I speak at Grace Fellowship Church in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota. And then fly like mad to Georgia and speak in Hiram, Georgia, Sunday morning, Sunday night. And then get home 8:30 Monday night. So I won't be here. Wait a minute. Let me look and see. Am I here? Yeah, I get in 8:30 in the morning. Okay. So yeah, I'll be here Monday, May 1st. Anyway, busy, busy weekend. Okay, Leia, you got a few testimonies there. Some people like our stuff. Some people don't. Give it to them.
Let's hear one that doesn't first, because we haven't had frowny faces in a while. This is by Scott Blaney. Says, I just finished watching your seminar on the Hovind Theory. I greatly enjoyed it. However, I was dismayed at how such a learned disciple can be so mistaken when it comes to the plan of salvation. In every example in the New Testament where someone is saved, they are baptized. This is Peter's statement in Acts 2:38, repent ye and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins.
Okay, hold it right there. You got it in front of you. You can read the text. The guy is already incorrect. Not every place where salvation is mentioned is baptism mentioned. John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. No baptism there. Jesus, thief on the cross. He said, hey guys, we've got to get down off this cross for a few minutes. Would you pull these nails out? I got to baptize this guy. I don't think so. No. So the premise is incorrect, okay? They start off by saying baptism is mentioned every time salvation is mentioned, and then they go on with their argument. The premise is incorrect. It is not true. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Where's baptism in there? It's not in there, right?
Nope.
He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. John 3. It's not there. So, Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Well, the word for has multiple meanings. If I said Robert's in jail for stealing cars, what does the word for mean? He's in jail to teach him how to steal cars, or because he already did steal cars? It's because he already did, right? The word for can just as easily mean because of something that was already done. If he's in jail for stealing cars, then he's in jail because of something he did in the past. Now, read the Acts 2:38 again with that thought in mind. Interpret it with that meaning.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Now, start at the beginning of that verse. So, Acts 2:38.
Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy.
No, for the remission of sins, right?
Does
it say unto? Oh, he's not using the King James. There is part of his problem. Robert, get a King James. Get a real Bible. And, yeah, what was that website, Leah, you said that has all the different Bible versions? You can look them up.
BibleGateway.com.
BibleGateway.com. Okay. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. So the new ones have unto the remission of sins. Wow, that's interesting. I bet they had a Church of Christ guy on that committee that was doing that one. BibleGateway.com.
It does say for.
It does say for, right. Okay. Okay, I'm going to look it up in some other versions. You go ahead and read the rest of this.
Okay. And then he says, Revelations 3:20 was written to a church, baptized believers. It is not to be seen as a way for sinners to enter the kingdom. Please reconsider your teaching on salvation. I did appreciate the added note about growth taking a long time. And Dr. Evan has obviously grown over the years, but I would say that he has yet to put on Christ. Romans 6:3-5.
I have yet to put on Christ. So I'm doing all this in the flesh. I'm not saved yet for 37 years. Okay. Now, those guys who believe baptism is part of salvation, do their missionaries carry a baptistry with them when they go out? Huh? Come here, fella. I want to teach you how to get saved. Now, quick, jump in this tub, okay? They don't do that, do they? Sprinkle
I
them?
Hope not. That'd no. be pretty scary.
I know their theme song, you know, Water Fellowship, Water Joy Divine, Leaning on the Everlasting Tub. But I would have to say I strongly disagree, okay? All right, go ahead. Next, is that it for the frowny?
That's it for the frowny.
Okay, give us a smiley here.
Okay, my friend loaned me 7 DVDs on your evolution series. They're great. Good job. You are very well anointed and such boldness. Thank you. Keep it up. I'm 51 years old. I got saved when I was 36. As I was growing up, I never knew nothing about Jesus or church. I was always taught that evolution garbage in school. But deep inside, I could never believe that. I always believed that there was a creator out there somewhere. I do an evangelizing article in our local newspaper once a month, and I will use some of your stuff. Thank you.
Awesome. And please
That's
do.
By Rick Bushy.
We have allowed people since day one, since we started this ministry 17 years ago, I said, Lord, if you want me to do this, I want people to be able to copy our stuff. I'm going to allow it to be freely copied. I'm not going to charge anything for my seminars, and I'm not going to send out letters begging for money every week. So if you don't supply, I'm going to quit. Okay, go ahead.
Good plan. Last one by Irene Griebno says, thank you for helping us understand creation science. I'm a teacher in Zimbabwe and have shown your videos to my class of 16-year-olds. This week I'm going to show them to 60 teachers. My own family, especially my 10-year-old son, loved to watch the series. My son was able to challenge the teaching of the mutation of the peppered moth as evidence for evolution. Thank you for all your hard work.
Awesome. Well, good. We love firing up students to get them some ammo to fight back with. Okay, I have BibleGateway.com, and I have looked at quite a few versions. Almost all of them say, be baptized for the remission of sins. But here, the CEV, Contemporary English Version. Peter said, turn back to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins will be forgiven. Whoever did the CEV is a bald-faced liar, okay? That is not what it says in the language they're translating. They are making this up to fit, have the, their doctrine. Jehovah's Witnesses do the same thing. They change the Bible to fit what they believe. That's stupid, okay? That's wicked. That's wicked, okay? Sinful, vile, okay? So whoever did the CEV, tell them to call into the program. I'm calling them a liar, okay? Let's see. Let's try American Standard. American Standard, Acts 2:38. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. That must be the
That's the one he quoted.
Okay, well, he needs to get a real Bible. I wouldn't trust the American Standard any further than I could throw a semi-truck. Okay? Young's Literal Translation. Reform and be baptized, each of you, on the name of Jesus Christ, to remission of sins.
What are you reforming if your sins haven't been forgiven for the baptism yet?
Yeah, reform and be baptized. Here's the problem. They want to get a new translation of the Bible so that they can get copyrights, so that they can get money. Bottom line, money. Okay? But you can't get a copyright unless what you are printing is at least 10% different than anything else out there. Well, there are nearly 200 English Bible versions. Are there 200 possible ways to say those, what, 35, 40 words in that verse? There probably aren't 200 different ways to say it, are there? No. So at some point, they got to start changing things to what it does not say, just so they can get the copyright, so they can get the money, so they can drive their Mercedes. That's where the problem
comes. Love of all money.
Love of money, root of all evil.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Leah. Any more? Is that it? There's a bunch more, but...
Yeah, there's plenty more if you want
to hear. No, that's good. We got plenty to cover here. If you get another frowny face, I enjoy those. Those are great.
Thank you
so much. All right, Robert, they can join us on the program. If you want to call in, 877-479-DINO, 877-479-3466. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, EAOL instant message at DrDinoLive, Dr. Dino Live. And let's see, what else is news here? Oh, newsletter coming out here soon. We almost got it out this week and then had another interesting turn of events that we're going to wait and get it out Friday. We're going to see what happens tomorrow. And so we're going to may have to modify our newsletter, which was just about ready to go to press. Oh, wait. We're going to hold off, stop the presses. So if you want to get our latest newsletter, you can go to, number one, CSE Blogs. It'll all be put up on there, Creation Science Evangelism, cseblogs.com. Or you can go to our website, drdino.com, and just simply sign up to receive the newsletter by email. And if you want to get it by snail mail, I think you can do it on the website, or you can call the office, and the secretaries will be there for about 10 more minutes. 850-479-DINO, 850-479-3466. Okay, where'd we leave off? Oh, you're sending them to me. There. Oh, man. All right, we're going to get to your questions here. Callers, come first. If you get tired of waiting in line, just call in. Try to answer questions and defend the Bible as being scientifically, historically, mathematically accurate in every detail. Oh, somebody was complaining about, Robert, about the sun standing still, saying that didn't really happen. Okay. I know what it was. There's an Arab guy who wants to debate me on the scientific accuracy of the Bible versus the scientific accuracy of Islam.
Oh, wow. We just went by a mosque today.
Where?
Me and Jeremy. It's off of...
Here in Pensacola?
Yeah, here in Pensacola. I wanted to go in. I was trying
I didn't know they had one.
Begging Jeremy. We're going to tour it sometime, yeah.
Where is it?
I'll get the address for you. Let me see if I can find it.
I've lived here 17 years, never seen one.
They've got it. I looked over there and I couldn't believe it. As much as they know about that religion.
Well, you would think this town's got 128 Baptist churches in Pensacola, plus all kinds of other flavors.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, a mosque. Now, I wrote back to the guy because he said, I want you to defend the Bible teaching of the sun standing still and, you know, this kind of stuff. And, you know, I said, well, I'll be glad to do that. Now, let me ask you to do something. I want you to defend your Quran. Let me get the letter here. I got 80 things. Open them. Here we go. Okay. Debate Islam. Islam. Here we go. Okay. I wrote back, Dear Abu Ali, whatever his name is, okay. I received your letter about a debate over the Bible in the light of science. In our previous correspondence, I said we would also need to include the Quran in the light of science. Your most recent letter acknowledges your consent, but adds the word Arabic. He said we can use the Arabic Quran. This is not acceptable with me since I cannot read or speak Arabic. Oh, break time. Can you provide me with 100% accurate English translation of the Quran? All right, we'll be back right after the break, folks, and take your questions. See you in a minute. Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. You are welcome to call in and join us on the program. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is dumb. But that's okay. We're not making fun of the people who believe in it. We're making fun of the idea they believe in. Okay? And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. And we take callers first, and we got a caller, so hang on a second. Or you can instant message us in the meantime at AOL instant message, Dr. Dino Live, DrDino. L-I-V-E. Okay, who's on the phone there, Robert?
We've got David from California.
David from California. Yes, sir, David.
Hey, Owen, it's David from Bakersfield.
Yes, sir. Did you get converted yet?
No. Remember the last time that you and I talked when you were in Bakersfield?
Yes.
I haven't really got a chance to talk to you about that, but wasn't too happy with you.
You weren't too happy? Why is that?
Just because I think that you might have been a little deceptive about the things you said, but in either case, like, I mean, not during the seminar, but whenever I talked, whenever I went to ask my question.
Well, now, be specific. That don't make a generic accusation like you're deceptive.
Well, no, remember how I said, I was saying, is it really fair to say that that it's all supported by lies? And you go, well, isn't something that's false a lie? And remember how you and I got in this big argument about what a lie is?
Oh, if a person is telling something that's not true, but they believe it to be true, then they're not lying. It's just not. That was your distinction, right?
Yeah, that's what I said. And okay. You were saying, well, and you were saying that it doesn't matter if they believe it or not, it's still a lie.
Yeah, I don't think truth depends upon the people's actions or reactions or attitudes at all. Truth is truth. Error is error.
Well, I know, but what I mean is, I was saying it's not fair to say someone's lying, especially if they're not aware that it's not true. And you during the church, when I asked this question, I felt as though you wanted to make me look like a fool, and so then all the audience, of course, was all cheering and all this stuff because of how silly I sounded saying this. And
well, no, I wasn't trying to make you look like a fool at all. I was just trying to understand exactly what you're saying and try to get you to you understand my position. If someone is teaching 2 plus 2 is 5 and they really honestly believe it. Now,
according to you, they're lying, right?
Well, what would you call it?
I would say that they're wrong.
They're in error, they're mistaken, but you wouldn't use the word lie.
No, that's what you were saying.
Right, right.
Okay, so you still think that, right?
Well, I'm willing. I understand your question, and I still think that yes, but I'm willing to discuss it with you. You may have a point. It's one of those fine definitions of words, you know.
Okay. Well, see, now you're being a lot more reasonable when you're not in front of an audience people.
I was then in front of the audience too. I said I'm willing to listen. I said I don't.
Oh, come on.
I said I don't see any way around this. To me, if it's wrong and they're saying it, they're lying.
Okay, so if you accept that, then you actually think that whenever kids sing the song Santa Claus is coming to town, they're lying? You think that?
Yes, but like
okay,
I said,
okay.
Like I said, I'm willing to discuss it with you. He's looking up the definition of lie right now, and we got a huge.
Well, the definition of lie, you're wrong about that. No matter what you say,
matter what the dictionary says, I'm wrong about that.
No. No matter what you say, the definition agrees with me that lying is intentionally deceiving. That's what.
Okay. Well, like I said, you may have a point, and he's looking up. We got all kinds of dictionaries here.
Okay.
Lie
is presenting false information with the intention of deceiving the person. That's what it is.
Well, this has 20 definitions, like, you know, to lie down, to lie in a bed, to be situated, to rest, to lie.
Well,
man, there's a whole page. There's a whole page. Just a minute.
Well, just go to dictionary.com. It's real quick, you know?
To be sustainable in law, to be capable of being maintained, an action lie on. To lie.
Well, it doesn't really matter because you already said that you think that would constitute a lie if someone said Santa Claus exists, right?
Does Santa Claus exist?
No.
Okay. So if someone says he does and they really believe it, like a child,
then you're saying that they're lying. Right?
Well, maybe the word lie is too strong. I don't know that it is. I'm just like I said. I'm willing to discuss it with you.
I'm going with what you said in front of everybody. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And see. If you're going to be consistent with what you said at the seminar, which is you know, doesn't matter. So then, according to you, then Bush lied, right?
I do believe Bush lies all the time. There's no question there.
No, I know, but so if I gave you a bumper sticker that said Bush lied, people died. You know that left wing, you know, slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Bush lied, people died. So would you put that on your car? Like, do you believe that?
I believe that, but I don't put political bumper stickers on my car. I put religious bumper stickers on my car.
Okay.
I don't get involved in politics much at all. Because George Bush is president of a corporation, not president of the United States. That's another long rabbit trail. But, Okay, Robert,
are you
looking
at a
lie, Robert? Go to dictionary.com. No, it's not in here. Dictionary.com and go to lie and let's see. So if a teacher is teaching, some of the things I cover in my seminar part 4, which is 3 hours long, lies in the textbooks, your objection is, even though you're not even arguing whether the points are true or not, you're just saying if they don't know that that's not true, then it's not really a lie.
What I'm saying is, yeah, whether or not they're true or false, it doesn't matter what it says. it's dishonest for you to claim that scientists are lying. I mean, it's just, I mean, you sound so stupid when you say that.
Hmm.
I mean, you'll say, people will use genetic evidence, and this is a lie. Or you'll say, homologous structures is used as evidence, this is a lie. I mean, it's not a lie. Are you kidding me?
Oh, no, I'm not kidding. I'm serious. I do believe that.
Okay, so you think that looking at similar structures in animals and concluding that they are related is that's a lie? I mean, how is that a lie?
The textbooks, and I quote, I show the actual scan the page of the textbook and get it up there, put the reference page number, copyright, everything. The textbooks say this is evidence of a common ancestor.
Yeah, okay.
Well, that's not true.
Well, yeah, it is.
No, it's evidence of a common designer.
Hovind, you know...
Okay, I'm looking out the window. I have a Chevy van.
Yeah, I know.
Which has round tires, and next to it is a Honda, which has round tires. Very similar. That proves they are related.
Okay.
No, it doesn't. It's a design that works really well. It rolls on the road.
You know, Hovind, you blow my mind. Okay, first, the whole idea behind common ancestry is that they reproduce. You've already been explaining that. I mean,
these cars are getting reproduced at a factory. All
factories
are
making them. Cars don't. You know what I mean? Come on.
Cars don't reproduce. Okay.
They don't reproduce, so they can't have common ancestors. In either case, so you're telling me that? Okay, what if I look at a chicken and I look at a hawk?
Okay.
And I look at them and I see similar homologies. I mean, so you're saying that reasoning is lying? It's not lying. How's it lying?
Okay, suppose the textbook said this is proof for evolution. Would that be a lie?
It wouldn't be. I think that the wording would be a little questionable. However, saying that it's evidence isn't a lie. It's not. I mean,
What if they said this can be interpreted as being evidence for common ancestor, or it can be interpreted? See, they don't ever give the or. They give the kids one side.
So you're admitting that it can be used, right?
No, I'm saying it is used.
Okay, you're saying that there's two interpretations, right?
There may be more than two, but yeah, there are at least two interpretations.
And so would you say that both of them could be used to support? You see what I'm saying? Like
both the idea of common similarity, homology, could be used to support common ancestor, or could be used to support common designer.
Okay, there you go. That's what I wanted to say. I wanted to hear you say when I asked the question.
Okay.
Because I go, isn't homologous structures what you'd expect? And, and you did your little game, you got the audience, and woo, all these, you get all, it just made me really upset that you would do that. And especially now that you're actually agreeing with everything I'm saying in private.
Well, no, and I'm sure sorry with the way the audience reacted to that. It wasn't my intention. I don't try to make anybody look silly in front of an audience. I try to establish what is truth and get to the, expose all sides of an argument.
Okay.
I really want to be fair and honest, and I want to be your friend, and we talked for quite a while afterwards, and I want to get you converted. I'm not trying to make you my enemy or make you look bad. I do want you to see how dumb the evolution theory is.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. But so you're saying that homologous structures can be used to support common ancestry. It can be.
Well,
right?
It is. It is being used to support
common
ancestry.
According to you, according to Hovind World, so you're saying that is a legitimate use. Of reason, like that's a legitimate. If I wanted to try to convince you that something had a common ancestry, you're saying that one of the things that could be used would be homologous structures.
No, I'm saying it is used. I don't think it's legitimate
no.
at all. It is
According
used. It is used as evidence. No, it is not a legitimate. We don't ever see any animal produce anything other than its kind. Why
okay,
would we
it
think
it has nothing? Has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Hang on. We got a break here. Hang on just a minute. We'll be back in 2 minutes. And honestly, I'm thrilled you called. Hang on just a second.
Okay.
Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager live on the air, answering your questions on the subject of creation, evolution, and dinosaurs, and defending the position, as always, that the Bible is true and the evolution theory is the most dangerous, the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of the world. And you can call us on the phone. Our one line is tied up right now, but it'll be empty in a minute. You can call us at 877-479-DINO, extension 136. And we have David on the phone. Still there, David?
Yes, I am.
Thank you so much for staying with us here. Sorry about that. We got all these breaks all the time in here. But
okay. Well, I kind of want to wrap up because I have another question that has to do with the Bible.
Well, let me just point out. I did look up in 5 different dictionaries the definition of the word lie. And I believe you are onto something. Let me see here. Lie in the 1998. I have dictionaries clear back to 18 or 17 something. She circled it here. L-I-E. Ah, there we go. Lie, 1998. To make an untrue statement with intent to deceive.
There you go.
Almost all of them are saying something similar to that, with the intent to deceive. So your point is the teachers who are teaching these things do not have the intent to deceive.
Yeah.
An untrue statement made deliberately, a falsehood. This is from the 1984 Webster's Dictionary. So if you don't do it deliberately, then it's not a lie. Okay.
Yeah. Now, this isn't like a weak way of trying to give a pass to potential falsehoods in textbooks.
Okay. I'm glad to hear that, too, because, of course, that's my next statement. Okay. So what if...
To me, whether or not, I mean, if people were saying that, say, like, if people... It doesn't matter. I'm completely against something being false in textbooks.
Okay. The homology one, we went over that, similarities.
So you're agreeing with me that that could be used. I mean, you're saying that's not even bad reasoning. You're actually saying that could be good.
Here's why I still think it's bad reasoning. Every animal we've ever observed in the history of humanity produces the same kind.
Yeah, okay. And every animal also produces something that's similar to it. Right?
Yeah, cats produce cats, dogs produce dogs.
Yeah, I know. So it's similarity. So you could look at similar animals and conclude they have more of a recent ancestor than. I mean, like, if I looked at a chicken and a hawk.
Sure.
Like, I know you would say, but it's a bird. It doesn't matter. It's the reasoning that I'm using. Use that reasoning.
Okay. Would you agree that the textbooks only give one way to interpret that observation?
I think that they're giving the only way that's reasonable.
And now there's where you're being unreasonable.
I'm not. You can't predict. Okay, so couldn't God make things unlike? Like, couldn't He make? I mean, since the God concept, there's nothing to predict from it. Since God can do anything, you can't predict that He'll make similar things. You see what I'm saying?
I think if you look at the world, He made all kinds of things that are similar and all kinds of things that are dissimilar. Plants and animals, for instance. Bacteria and whales are totally dissimilar.
Okay, so you're saying, according to you then, if animals were dramatically different, like let's say, every animal, some animals use DNA and the other ones use some other way of instructing the genes to build bodies.
Ah, okay, now I see your point. Okay.
Okay, so according to you, then that wouldn't be evidence of God because it's so dissimilar, right?
No, I think the fact that there are already so many dissimilar animals, like a platypus and a lobster, they're both an animal, but they're very different.
So you're saying that similarities prove common designer and unsimilarities prove common designer?
Well, yeah, just like a Chevy produces, say, 7 or 8 or 10 different models each year, they have some similarities, i.e. headlights on the front, taillights on the back, round tires.
Yeah, but you're also saying that unsimilarities support the same thing?
Well, dissimilarity shows the intelligence of this creator.
Okay, okay.
And the broad spectrum.
Okay, well, we can get into that later. I have a question about the Bible. Okay,
just finish it. One more quick thought. Would you agree that Tom Hanks is a good actor and is able to act in a wide range of roles? Shows what a good actor he is. Okay?
Sure.
John Wayne acted sometimes in, a wide range of roles because of his diversity. So I think that the more intelligent the person is, the greater the range of diversity. If someone can play the piano and juggle and ride a unicycle and sing and mountain climb and do everything, you'd say, wow, that guy's real talented and really smart. I think God is able to produce a wide range of life forms, all able to live in oftentimes symbiotic relationships.
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm not saying he can't.
Okay, right, okay.
All I'm saying is you can't use the reasoning that similarities prove common designer and then say unsimilarities also do the same thing. It's meaningless.
No, similarities prove... you can. Now think about it. Similarities prove common designer. Dissimilarities prove the intelligence of the common designer.
Okay, well...
Anyway, go ahead with your Bible
question. We'll get into that later. I mean, Wow. But, okay, so you're admitting that I was onto something with the lie definition.
You
right?
do. Now, how would you? How should I phrase it then in my seminar when I say...
Well, you know, I'm really tempted to tell you, but I don't think you'll care, and I think you'll just continue to do what you do no matter what.
Hmm.
Like I mean, I could have. I already have recordings of you admitting things that you do, that like you admitting you're wrong about certain things, and then continue to doing it anyway.
So well, I'm sure. Sorry about that.
No, well, it's clear you really care less.
No, I care deeply. I want. I'm gonna
oh,
face.
You don't. Come
I'm gonna
on.
Face. I'm gonna face God one day. I'm not worried about what you think. And why? Yeah. Why do you spend all this time recording, trying to find flaws with me? Do you do the same with the textbooks? Look at the flaws in the textbook, David. I point out hundreds of them. Do you care about those?
No, because I like porno way too much to do that. So I have another question.
Okay.
You know the verse where, you know, Jesus says, you know, to be my disciple, you have to hate your mom and dad and your brother and all this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like Luke. Let me find it.
Okay.
Well, first, you know, this is a genuine curiosity. Being a literalist, do you really respond to that? In the sense, like, do you really think that he meant, you know, you should have a you should really hate your mom and dad and stuff.
Hmm.
Like, okay, the verse is Luke 14:26, where it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, blah, 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 he cannot be my disciple.
Well,
do you think that...
Yeah,
think
I understand. It's a good question. I think maybe it's, like if I say it's dark outside, well, is it totally dark or is it compared to when it's bright? I think that's a comparative thing. You know, your love for them should be as hatred compared to your love for God. So
okay,
I think it's a comparison thing. Like, when I say it's dark outside, well...
Okay, sure. Well. So yours isn't... It's not literally, it's technically. It's like a, like, what is this... How would you classify that, like, interpretation?
I still think you're straining at gnats and swallowing camels, but...
Well, I think you are in this case.
Sure.
Because I think, you know, someone could easily say that even if in comparison, then yes, that they hate their mom and dad and stuff. Right.
That's a good point, and maybe there's a cultural context that needs to be taken in. I don't know.
Sure. Okay, well, if that's the case, then, okay, you're also familiar with the Ten Commandments, honor thy father and mother. And you're
right.
Also familiar with, you know, 1 John 4:20, where it says, if anyone says, I love God, and yet hate his brother, he is a liar. And then there's verses that talk about, if you hate your brother, then you're a murderer. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So don't you think it's a little odd that Jesus wants his disciples to be murderers, liars, and commandment breakers?
Yeah, I think that certainly would require some concentration and interpretation to see what all it means, because the Bible teaches that there are no scriptures of any private interpretation. You interpret one verse in light of all the others. So there must be something there that we're missing, or that you're missing, or somebody's missing.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a very good point, and well taken, and I don't have an answer for you.
Okay. Well, another thing is, are you familiar with, I think it's John 7:1, where, actually, would you mind bringing it up, because I'm not as fast as you are.
Your Bible there, John 7:1, okay?
I think it's John 7.
Now, all this time you spend looking for contradictions in the Bible, do you spend any time looking for contradictions in the science books, which we're all paying for? I'm not asking you to pay for the Bible to be taught, you know?
You know, I don't go in textbooks or anything like that, but I do speak a lot about, especially with one of your, you know, fans, Jared Hoag, about this kind of stuff, and, you know, we actually have some big beef with a lot of the reasoning that's used by evolutionists, especially
okay.
a lot of the really...
I've got John 7:1.
Okay.
After these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him.
Actually, I might be wrong about that. Just give me one second. Sorry to take up the time.
No problem. Well, just give me the gist of it. I might know it by heart.
Okay. Well, this is basically Jesus is walking with his guys, and they say, hey, you know, you want to go to a feast? And he goes, no, my time hasn't come. And then after they leave, it says that and then Jesus went anyway, and then he didn't go outwardly, but he went privately.
Yeah, that's the right chapter, John 7. It's later on in the chapter, though.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
10,
really?
Yeah, that's where he went secretly.
Okay, so actually, I had a verse. Here we go. Yeah. Then they came up. So, wouldn't you consider that? I mean, if Jesus said, "No, not yet," or "Not," you know, "No, my time hasn't come."
Well, read what he said. Verse 8. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto this feast.
Okay. Well, by the way, the yet apparently was added.
Oh, well, later. I'm reading from the King James, which I say is 100% accurate, and I'll defend that.
100% accurate.
I believe 100% accurate. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then he went up in secret.
So if he went up a couple hours or a couple days later, that's exactly correct. He said, my time is not yet.
Okay.
Yet is very important, and it's in there.
Okay. It just looks a little suspicious to me, you know.
You're looking for things to be suspicious. If you just would not knock it off.
Well, not really. I mean...
Well, you can understand how I'm looking for things to be suspicious in textbooks, too. I think they have an agenda they want, and if I was asking the Bible to be taught at taxpayer expense, then the scrutiny certainly would be, you know, something I'd have to defend, but
okay.
They are asking for the textbooks to be taught at taxpayer expense.
So you think the Bible is 100% accurate?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so how do you respond to the arguments about it being a copy of a copy of a copy?
Well, like, God can write the original. He can preserve it, too. He promised he would, Psalm chapter 12. He promised he'd preserve his word.
I mean, but doesn't God have things better to do than write books and make them all confusing and stuff?
I don't think it's confusing. A lot of it's pretty clear.
Okay,
there's a couple confusing things.
So it's pretty clear when Jesus says he wants people who hate his parents to be my disciple?
Well, there are 31,000 verses in the Bible. There are, I'd say 95% of them are crystal clear. A few of them are a little tough to understand. It's just like reading an owner's manual to our computer program. And some of it's clear, and some of it's like, wow, I don't understand that. That just shows the author's intelligence.
Okay. Well, I don't have anything else.
I'm sure glad you're listening. And we're still going to get you converted.
You think?
I know so.
Well,
if not now, 10 seconds after you die, then it's going to be too late. But you'll be a believer then.
Yeah, but I mean, haven't I already blasphemed the Holy Ghost? You know,
it's never. I don't know who's saved and who's not, who's capable. I'm going to keep after you until God.
I think you should blaspheme the Holy Ghost today. You should do that.
You think I should?
Yeah.
He's my friend. He's my paraclete. He's the one that goes alongside. He's the intermediary. He's my comforter.
So you think that? Evolutionary biology is actually dumber than believing in Holy Ghosts that are your friend?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I talk to him all the
time.
Yeah, we're friends.
Cool. Okay, well...
He's my comforter.
I'm going to go back to my porno, and I'm going to go back to being a little nasty creature of, you know, because Psalm 14, I have never done good in my life, so...
Well, even the good that I do looks bad in God's sight. I'm only going to heaven because of Jesus' righteousness put on my account. It's not because of my goodness. Are you kidding? That would never get me anywhere.
Yeah. So, do you agree with that though? That form of justice, you know, giving people a free pass just because they call God the right name?
Oh no, he gives them a free pass based on the blood of Christ. I mean, he himself came down and died on the cross.
Well, I know, but I mean, the idea dead. That. We're actually not rewarded or punished for our actions, but just what we believe in our brain. I mean, do you actually think that's a...
I've never heard it phrased that way. I'd have to think about that one. But
basically, you think you agree with God's justice system, where basically the criteria is if you believe in my son or not. You know, it's not. You know, it's like the whole typical like I could walk, you know, grandma's across the street and be nice and pay my taxes. It doesn't matter. I'm still going to be tossed into barbecue pits in hell.
Yeah, your good works or my good works have nothing to do with our salvation. It's only what Christ did for. Because our good works look bad, you know. Even
okay,
our good
well,
stuff
I mean,
looks...
you, but you think that's you think that's okay.
I think he's God. He can do what he wants. who might to be the judge? You know.
Well, I know, but so if God told you to kill me, then you would do it, right?
I don't think he would do such a thing.
I know, but you said he can do what he wants. What if he wants to do that?
Oh, he can. And sometimes in the Bible he did tell the children of Israel to kill certain whole nations, you know?
Yeah, and then he also told them to keep the virgin so the priest could have him. You like that?
So the priest could have him?
Show me that.
I'd like
to
see.
I'll pull up the verse next time I call, but, yeah, you know, there's parts where he sends his guys out to kill, like, every woman and child. But keep the virgins to yourself. Keep the virgins for yourself. You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah. I don't know where the passage is now. And the children, those who have not known man by lying with them, is the way it says it in the King James. So,
I mean, like, come on, you know, like you think that's okay?
I said when you asked that question, I said he's God; he can make the rules, whatever he wants.
Yeah, I know. So there's nothing that I could tell you. Like, what could God do? that would make you think he's a bad guy? You know?
Hmm.
Like, what if, how's this? What if he told you he didn't exist? No, actually, that's a stupid question. No, I mean, no, really. Like, if you heard, if you, you know, wake up and, you know, he, God tells you, you know, go kill the those, you know, kids across the street who are selling cookies, you know. Like,
well,
you wouldn't question it. You would just be like, yes, I will do that.
First place, I don't think God speaks to us that way. He speaks to us through his word already written down. And so I don't think he would ever give any commands to somebody that go contrary to his word. That would be the devil giving those commands, not God.
Okay.
So I filter everything through the scriptures. When I get this idea or somebody makes a suggestion, I say, no, let me filter that through the scriptures.
Well, how do you know the devil didn't write the Bible and he just pretends he's God? You know?
Mm.
Like, if you think about it, God does all the killing. The devil, I can't recall. If you don't count the Job story, the devil really doesn't do anything bad. All he did was try to convince Eve to eat a fruit, and that's it. I mean, left and right, God's the one who's sending people to slaughter and, you know, dashing babies across the stone and sending bears to rip up kids. I mean, from a neutral perspective, you'd think that the God of the Bible is actually the devil, and the devil is actually, you know, the modest hero. You know what I mean?
I understand. Yes. Each of those stories needs to be interpreted, I guess, independently. First of all, as far as the bear that tore up the kids, it says the bear tore two bears, I believe, tore 42 kids. But those kids were mocking God's man, and that, I think that shows. It doesn't say they killed the kids, even though they might have. I don't know, but I think that shows that the importance of respecting God's man. And here's God sends a prophet with a message, and these kids are laughing at God's messenger, and God takes that pretty serious. Just like we take it serious when somebody bombs our embassy.
Yeah, well, to be accurate, they're laughing at his bald head, and I think I couldn't imagine bears just scratching kids like.
Yeah, I have no idea what really happened. Neither do
you. You know what I mean? Like, why would bears just do that? Like, go over there and like scratch them? You'd think they'd be a little more aggressive about it.
Well, maybe God had it all planned just to scare the mess out of these kids to say, look, leave my man, I got alone.
Yeah, but what if the verse actually said, you know, it ripped the bellies to shreds? Like, that would still be just as holy to you.
Well, no, all I have said is, he is God. I trust him to do right, okay? I totally trust him to do what's right. So,
okay.
I don't know who you trust to do right. And by the way,
I trust time. That's my God.
Okay. When you are really grateful and see a beautiful sunset and all that stuff, who do you thank?
You know, I don't know.
A tough one, isn't it?
Yeah,
all right. Well, we're sure glad.
Okay. Well, I'll talk to you later, and hopefully you'll maybe. Well, you won't. But okay, I'll just talk to you probably tomorrow, actually, because I have some more questions. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
All right, folks. You can join us on the program 877-479-DINO 877-479-3466 extension 136. We'll be back after the break. Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. We only got, how much time left? 40
half
minutes?
An hour.
A little more than a half hour left.
You can
call in and join us on the program. We believe the Bible's true and the evolution theory is dumb. And you can join us at 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Who's on the phone there, Robert?
Melinda from Ontario, Canada.
Ontario, Canadian, eh? Melinda.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, doing good. Did I say it right? Canadian, eh?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. How can we help?
First, I want to say that I am a strong believer in creation.
Okay.
And that I watch all your stuff, and that I think very highly of you.
Okay.
And what I wanted to ask about was, it's more not really to do with creation or anything like that. I'm working at a resort, like a lodge, a healing lodge, with Aboriginals going through a healing of sexual multiple abuse.
Okay.
And as a Christian, they go through a lot of traditional healing, traditional teachings and stuff.
Right.
And I'm just, I'm wanting to be very careful of what I take part in and to make sure that I don't compromise anything that I look like, anything of God's word, anything of God.
Right. Wise move.
And that's why I wanted to ask you about, ask you kind of like what I need to watch out for. Kind of like sweat lodges. I don't know, because I know you've done a lot of research in other beliefs. And so I'm just wanting to know, like, what I should watch out for, what I shouldn't take part in, if you know anything. Like, there's sweat lodges, there's bath ceremonies, the cedar bath. stage and all those kind of things?
I've seen a little bit on the sweat lodges. I think there's a great healing factor involved just with sweating in general. Sweating gets out a lot of poisons.
Yeah.
Now, if they're saying the sweating is taking out demons, well, then that's, of course, stupid.
No, they're when they go into the sweat lodge, they bring in the grandfather rocks, which is supposed to be the spirits of the grandfathers, and they call upon the spirits to come and help them deal with issues that people are bringing into the sweat lodge.
Now, that I would say no. You don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Going in there to sweat like a sauna, go for it.
Okay, so anything that has to do with spiritual stuff, be wary of them.
Yeah, I believe the term is animism, if I'm not mistaken. That's not something I deal with all the time, but yeah, I would be wary of that. This is the type of thing missionaries run into all the time on the mission field, where the people think that their grandfather's in a stump or a tree or, you know,
yeah,
a monkey.
Yeah, see, that's what I get a lot of, is they ask me, like, don't you believe that trees have spirits? And sometimes I'm just like, well, I believe God made the trees and they're beautiful, but I don't believe they have souls or spirits. So that's where I'm getting stuck, is, like, I believe God's wanting to use me to plant seeds, not harvest them, just to show them God.
Right, right.
But sometimes it's hard, because sometimes the way they ask you things, it's like a trick question. You don't really know how to answer.
Okay. Well, yeah, I would, there's a fine line there. You want to be truthful, remain firm. At the same time, you want to reach these people.
Yeah.
If you went into a society where they're all, you know, naked and cannibals, I would probably work on the cannibal part first and just ignore the naked part for now. We'll talk about that later, okay? You know what I mean?
Okay, yeah.
One issue at a time, all right? First, they need to get Jesus in their heart. First, they need to have their sins forgiven. A lot of the other things will automatically take care of themselves. Have you read the book Peace Child?
No, actually, I think we are ordering it.
That would be a must read for anybody who wants to do mission work with any different culture, which is what you're doing. It's cross-cultural evangelism.
Yeah.
The same author wrote a book called Eternity in Their Hearts. That is fabulous. Dealing with, you know, there is a way to reach these people. Every culture has a key built into them already. You've got to find it and reach them. But Peace Child, you're going to love Peace Child.
Okay. Yeah, I just find it's hard sometimes, because a lot of the stuff that the, like a lot of their stories, like kind of like how the flood, the raven, like a lot of it has, not biblical, but you know how the stories kind of, how a lot of them kind of have the same kind of meaning? Like, I'm not sure if I'm explaining this right.
Well, yeah, no, they do. It's obviously they were twisted or perverted versions of the Bible stories, like
yeah,
the creation, the flood, the Tower of Babel. They're all in these cultures.
Yeah, so that's where I'm also, like, I can't, like, I'm there to help them heal in a traditional format, so I can't contradict what they're teaching, but at the same time, I'm trying to let them know about Christ, so that's where I'm not sure what to take part in, what to refuse to take part in, smudging yourself with sage. If you light sage, and then they take the smoke over their face and their heart and their eyes to ask the Creator to cleanse their eyes and their ears, to hear no evil, to speak no evil, stuff like that.
Well, you might point out that maybe there is some healing property in sage smoke that does actually, you know, antibacterial or something.
Yeah.
So maybe it started off where somebody discovered this and says, wow, you got an infection in your eye, put this smoke in there and it kills the bacteria. And it worked. And then over the years it has become perverted into, oh, there's a spirit.
Yeah.
No, it's not a spirit. It's a medicinal property.
Yeah, because that's what the medicine wheels. There's certain medical medicine, like sage and tobacco. There's certain things they consider medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Things. So I'm just not sure if I should stay working there or if I should leave, or I want to make sure that I don't.
I tell you what, you probably ought to get a hold of New Tribes Missions.
New Tribes Missions?
I would go to Google and search them. I don't even know where their headquarters is. I think it's Chattanooga, but I'm not certain of that. And because they run into this every day. You know, ask them, how do you guys handle this?
Okay, that sounds good. Because I thought I'd call you because I didn't know anybody else who to talk to about it.
Okay. Well, I don't have a good answer, but New Tribes Mission probably does.
Okay. So just sending me somewhere where I can get all the answers I need is a good answer to me.
Well, now, another answer I would give, if you look at the book of Acts, they would go into different cultures, different countries, you know, go all over Turkey, go all over Greece, and they just went in and simply preached Christ. They ignored kind of their religion. Now, Paul, when he went to Cyprus, he had studied their religion because he quoted their poets. You know, so he had studied their culture. He couldn't have quoted their poetry. or the Cretans. He said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies on the island of Crete. You know, so he studied their culture and knew about them. When you get into cross-cultural evangelism, that's where probably new tribes would be, that's where I'd start. They'd be good.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
I have my husband here. He was wanting to speak to you. I don't know if he has to call in again.
Sure, no, that's fine. Go ahead, put him on.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
Hello?
Hello, yes, sir.
Okay. First, I wanted to make a comment about that guy who was on before my wife called.
Okay.
And just to let him know, like, if he's still listening, that some people have, you know, important questions, and they don't want to, you know, when you're sitting there waiting for a long time, well, someone else is obviously just trying to waste your time.
Yeah, I know.
It's not very nice. So just hopefully he's listening and hears me say that.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm the one who sent you that DVD that we recorded off of the National Geographic Channel with Navy SEAL training.
Oh, yes. I loved it.
Yeah, I found it very interesting. Instead of calling them exercises or moving on to the next routine, they said, we're moving on to the next evolution. And the next evolution, we're doing this, and the next evolution, we're doing that.
Yep.
So anyway, your secretary's email said I should call in to comment on it.
Yeah, that was fascinating. I couldn't believe it. They were doing that. How does a Navy SEAL training become an evolution?
Yeah, like who slipped that in there? Somebody tried to, you know, they want to make it sure it permeates every aspect of society.
Wow. Maybe there's some kind of way they don't get a government grant unless they, you know, brag on evolution somehow or something.
Or maybe it won't get on that channel if it wasn't promoting that somehow.
Well, like in Islam, you know, you have to praise Allah all the time, you know. You got to somehow give credit to Allah, you know.
Yeah.
Like Mormons, it's really big with Mormons that they give their testimony. You know, I believe Joseph Smith is a prophet, something like that, you know.
Oh, really?
They always slip that in someplace.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I just found that very interesting that they did that.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you got everything else. The other thing I found really interesting is one of the things that proves that the Bible is scientifically accurate, and, you know, just one other spot, is that the Revelations 21:21, talking about gold, the streets of the city were pure gold as a clear glass. Or something.
Right, I saw that about purified, yeah.
Yeah, then I was looking on a website about gold, and I found that very interesting that they put that in there, saying how when our modern techniques have allowed us to purify gold to the level that it's so pure that it's clear, like mm-hmm. glass, and it's actually impurities that give it the gold color.
Yeah, very fascinating.
Yeah, I found that very interesting. Anyway, so I won't keep you. I just wanted to make sure other people heard that, too.
Sounds great. What province are you in?
Ontario.
Oh, yeah. Been there a bunch of times. My son was just there last week. Preaching.
Yeah, yeah. I knew that. I saw it on the website, but I couldn't make it. I was 5 hours north of there. I had to help my neighbor put fencing up.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, come down, help us put fencing up. The hurricane tore things up here.
Oh, there's one coming?
No, from the last time, but they're still fixing things.
Oh, okay.
All right, thanks a lot, brother.
All right, no problem.
All right,
bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, you can join us at 877-479-DINO, extension 136, 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Okay, to the instant messages, as quick as we can. We're going to finish reading about the Islam. Let's see, where did I leave it? Go. The guy wants to debate me on the accuracy, scientific accuracy of the Bible, and I said, well, let's include the Quran. But I want he said it has to be the Arabic Quran, which is what they always do, you know, because they know you can't read Arabic, and then they can say, well, it says in the Arabic. You want me to debate with the Arabic Quran. I said, this is not acceptable. I cannot read Arabic or speak it. Can you provide me with 100% accurate English translation of the Quran? I would state that the King James Version is 100% accurate translation of God's Word and use only that in the debate. Without an accurate translation of the Quran, a debate with my participation is not possible. For example, there are quite a few scientific errors pointed out in the enclosed books, and I sent him some books about, you know, Quran and this serious scientific mistakes. Please let me know if these supposed errors are based on a mistranslation of Islamic books, and send me the correct translation. If you need 100%, I would need 100% accurate English translation of the Hadith. If it is a holy book, you are required to believe. I do not understand your closing yours in the yoke of Islam, since I am not in agreement with most of what Islam teaches, nor do I look forward to. But I do look forward to converting you from the moon god to the true God of the universe, if you're an honest seeker of truth. Anyway, so, yeah, interesting. Well, who's on the phone there now, Robert? We're not going to get to any instant messages, are we? Go ahead.
A lot of callers. David from Washington.
David from Washington. Yes, sir, David.
Hello, Dr. Hovind.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering what you meant by when you talked to the other David about the Bush. He's not the president of the United States, but the president of a corporation.
Yeah, there is no president of the real United States. I'm talking about the United States that was started in 1770s, you know, by our founding fathers. That United States has went bankrupt and is defunct and is no longer in existence. And the new corporate United States, which has taken over for the bankruptcy, for the bankrupt United States, is actually a corporation, and there is no real United States president. So it's a corporation. They're running things in bankruptcy. It's a long rabbit trail to chase, but there are a ton of websites on the internet about that. So let's see, where would you start on that one? Robert, you can think of any good websites that deal with that subject?
Try www.truthusa.com, or let's see. I know another one. It says Stop the IRS at
what is it?
StopTheIRS.com. It's on that subject and on a lot of other ones too.
I don't think I heard it correctly.
StopTheIRS.com. I've never seen either of those sites, so I don't know. But
try Truth USA.
All right.
I was wondering, are there any good books about these subjects, like The Straw Man and stuff like that?
I'm sure there are. I don't have any here in my library or know of any. I've heard little bits and pieces. It's just tantalizing. You know, it's tempting to go off and make that a full-time study. You know, like, who are you really, you know? Did they create a corporation with your name on it when they gave you a birth certificate? And is that what they're really dealing with, you know, all through life? And it's... I have interest, but don't have time to chase that rabbit.
Okay.
Okay?
Well, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thanks a lot.
Goodbye.
All right, folks, you can join us on the program. 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Let's get back to where we leave off here. Instant messages. Okay. Anthony Dabbs writes in. Dr. Robin, I have a friend that I've been witnessing to for some time. It seems the biggest issue with him is he thinks that everything in history is biased by the people who recorded it. Oh, it's probably a reasonable assumption. Okay. I see his point, but how can I explain to him that bias is not an issue with God's word? How can I tackle this intelligently? Because of my work schedule, I don't know if I can listen to your show for a while, so if possible, appreciate an email. Sorry, I don't do any email, Anthony. I simply do not have time, but you can listen to the archives of the show. Did you get Marches done?
Yes, I did.
And it's in shipping? Good.
Pavel has it, and it's up to him now.
Wow.
Out of my hands.
So January, February, March, any of our $10 to get a CD of the entire month's program. So you can get that off the drdino.com. Let's see. So what was the question again? Oh, bias in history. Well, yeah, each of the authors of the Bible, there are 40 different authors. I'm sure each of them had maybe bias is a strong word, a flavor, I guess. Like the Canadians, you can tell when they call in, they say Canadian A, you know. There's nothing right or wrong about it. It's just the way they talk, okay? There's a flavor to their language. And same thing with somebody from New England or from, you know, Georgia or Alabama. That's great. I mean, it's different. Australia, same way. They have a tone in their voice and some words that they say are different. God, I think, wrote his word through these different people purposely to give it different flavors. And Isaiah, for instance, is the weeping prophet, and he's just so compassionate. And others are just hard-nosed, you know, cut-off-their-head kind of guys. So God prepared the people, and then he had them write his message. It's his words, just like when I dictate to my secretary, it's my words. She's just writing them down. So this is God's word, but he did it through different people, that he prepared the people first. I think the word is theopneuskos in Greek, which means God breathed. He actually breathed in his word to these people. Okay, let's see. So, I don't think there's a bias in God's word. I think there might be a flavor, if that's the right way to say it, from some of the authors. Okay, One Way Life for All writes in, Dr. Rovin, I always hear evolutionists referring to the fossil record, which seems to suppositively be a bunch of fossils that we can observe gradually changing into different life forms as we find them in a certain order in the different layers. They seem to tout this as one of the greatest evidences for macroevolution. What are they really referring to when they say fossil record, and why would you disagree with them? I would say there is no such thing as a fossil record. There are thousands, millions, trillions probably, of bones in the dirt. They are interpreting it in a certain way, but it's not a fossil record. If you went to a junkyard and saw a mountain of cars all piled up on each other, would you say that is an automotive record or that is a pile of cars and you would like to, you know, maybe try to interpret it somehow? You could put your interpretation on there and say probably since there are no cars in this junkyard after 1975, the junkyard ceased collecting cars in 75. Yeah, we could get some interpretations, but the fact is it's a pile of cars, okay? So we got a pile of bones in the dirt. We'll be back right after the breaks. Good evening, folks. Welcome back to the final segment of the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager, live in Pensacola, Florida, defending the position that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate. And the evolution theory being taught in our schools is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And you can join us on the program, 877-479-DINO, extension 136, or instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, or email us at drdino.com is the website. This all started 17 years ago, and I started speaking on dinosaurs quite a few places, and some kids started calling me Dr. Dino. Okay, well, it's one of those things like Patch the Pirate, you know, I just kind of stuck. Okay, fossil record. Did we get that? Yeah, I guess we did. No such thing as a fossil record. There are a bunch of bones in the dirt. But so many people over the years have been trying to interpret these to mean something that they think it is actually a record of what happened. No, it's actually a record of a flood. Fossils found by the bazillions in tangled up positions, contorted positions, fish with their gills extended, their fins extended, died in horrible fright. Something was happening they didn't understand. I mean, and just the fact that they're preserved at all is an indication something was different. Fish today die by the thousands every day and they don't get preserved. They get eaten. Bones and all, they get eaten. Scavenged. Oh, man. So there's no fossil record. Okay. Tim Eagle writes in, how do the evolutionists explain the need for clothes since we came from monkeys? I don't know. Why haven't we evolved enough hair where we don't have to have clothes? Interesting. Good.
That'd be losing, not gaining.
Yeah. I mean, humans are pretty dependent on temperature and weather. I mean, we're actually pretty frail if you stop and look at it. I'm getting worried about going to Papua New Guinea for 2 weeks out there tromping around. I'm a little out of shape, Robert. Better. Oh, man. Okay, here we go. The Goose writes in. Subject, primordial soup. How can you just discount the primordial soup model? The evidence in favor of creationism is all questionable at best. There is so much evidence in favor of Darwin and evolutionism. I challenge you to raise any substantial evidence that does not stem from the Bible. Science is the only way to see the world. To present false information with the intent of deceiving. Okay, you didn't put a name on it, Robert. You sent me that, didn't you? That was the lie. Okay, well, let me get back to Goose. I thought it went right on to this one. Never mind. So, the Goose is writing in here saying, how can you just discount the primordial soup model? Well, because I think it's ludicrous to teach that soup, which is from melted rocks or dissolved rocks, came alive. Nobody has ever seen this happen. Nobody's been able to make it happen. They've tried and tried and tried in the laboratory to make such a thing happen. You know, lightning sparks and nuke them and microwave them and anything they can do to try to make this mixture of lifeless chemicals come alive. They can't even make it happen. I don't care if the woman wants to believe that. They can believe whatever they want. But that's not science. That's been my objection all along. They can believe whatever they want, but don't call that science. There are some famous evolutionists who have admitted that. I'm going to get up the quote here about the living organisms. Nobody knows how a mixture of lifeless chemicals first spontaneously organized themselves into a living cell. That is the quote. I'm forgetting who did that now. Let's see. Oh, I go through the six different meanings of the word evolution. Where is that? Seminar part one. I know I cover it twice. Ah, there we go. Living cells. Got it. No. No, but here we go. A quote is by Paul Davies, Australian Center for Astrobiology. Davies was once described by the Washington Times as the best science writer on either side of the Atlantic. Davies said in New Scientist magazine, volume 179, July 2003, July 12th, he says, quote, "Nobody knows how a mixture of lifeless chemicals spontaneously organized themselves into the first living cell. Nobody knows. So you asked in your question how I could discount the chemical, primordial soup model. I can easily discount it. It doesn't make any sense logically. There's no scientific evidence for it. You don't ever see soup come alive. It's a religion." And then he goes on to say, "The evidence in favor of creationism is questionable at best." I don't understand. That's too generic of a statement to be able to do anything with. But the evidence for creation, I think, is like, you know, people say, "Where's the evidence for creation?" I say, for heaven's sake, do you have to light a candle to see the sun? Look at the creation, and that's evidence of a creator. You can look at the complexity of a single cell, any cell. Get a plant cell, animal cell, doesn't matter. Get any single cell and really study it out. Learn about all the different parts of any living cell. And if that doesn't make you sit down and marvel, I can't help you. Just ought to marvel, like, wow, what a mighty God created this. He goes on to say, there is so much evidence in favor of Darwin and evolutionism. Is there a name on here? The Goose, okay. I would like to see this evidence. I would like to see any evidence in favor of Darwin. I would like to see it so badly, we've been offering $250,000 for anybody who's got this supposed evidence for evolution. We want to see it. Go to the website, Dr. Dino, and check out the details. And he goes on to say, "I challenge you to raise any substantial evidence that does not stem from the Bible." Okay, how about this? Nothing to do with the Bible. Dogs produce dogs. No exceptions. If you think there are exceptions, I would like to see them or hear about them. So I think scientific observation tells us, since dogs always produce dogs, you go back, you know, to the grandpa dog and then great-grandpa dog. If you keep going back, eventually you have to end up with the first dog. So what did that come from? So we know that dogs always come from dogs, so the first dog must have come from a designer. I don't see any other way to think about it. I mean, if you got a way, let me know. But if you believe it was something non-dog, then where's the evidence? And he says, "Science is the only way to see the world." Science means knowledge, okay? If you are including evolution as part of science, I would have to strongly disagree. Evolution has nothing to do with science. I love science. Evolution isn't part of it, okay? And I resent paying for it to be included. It's a waste of textbook space, a waste of classroom time. They're cutting down perfectly good trees. They're destroying the environment to spread this idiot theory of evolution. So science is the only way to see it. I don't know that that's true. I mean, there are all kinds of ways to see the world without science. There are emotional ways to look at the world. You know, I think that would be an overgeneralization here, the Goose. I have to reserve judgment on that one sentence here, but I don't understand. You'd have to define that. What do you mean science is the only way to see the world? How do you explain then, for instance, love, jealousy, envy, hatred, you know, emotional things? Since they can't be seen, measured, or weighed, do they then not exist? How would you see that with science? And I think there's a lot of things that we can't see with science. Science is limited to the things we can observe, study, test. Okay, here we go. The Bartman 47 writes in, "If the textbook had said that some scientists believe that this is evidence for a common ancestor, then it wouldn't be a lie. If the textbook says it proves common ancestor, then it is a lie." He's referring back to the previous comment from David that called in. No. Yeah, he's got a good point. It's because a lie is intent to deceive. So if a textbook author or a teacher is teaching something that is not true, but they think it is, again, I would say the straining at a gnat swallowing a camel, but it is a legitimate point. I'm going to have to think about that one. The fact is, it's not true. So if it's not true, it is false or a lie. Maybe false would be,
Okay. I still think it's a lie.
I still think it's a lie too, but I understand his point, but that to me is straining at a gnat swallowing a camel.
Yeah. I think God would say it's a lie.
Yeah. but God be true and every man a liar. Okay, good point, Bartman. Here's E-M-E-L-E-N-D. Emeland 2. Did Jesus die on a Friday or a Wednesday? Oh, he died on Wednesday. There is no way you can die on Friday, spend 3 days and three nights in the grave, and be gone by Sunday morning. That's not possible. Jesus died Wednesday afternoon. He was in the tomb Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, which means he was in the tomb all day Thursday, all day Friday, all day Saturday. He rose Saturday night. By the time they got there Sunday morning, he was gone. Already gone. Okay, here we go. Matthew 12:40 says, "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, shall so the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." John 19, "The Jews, therefore, because it was a preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day." And there's the secret right there. The Sabbath means rest. The Sabbath was Saturday, but sometimes there was a high Sabbath where you had 3 days of rest in a row. Sabbath does not necessarily always mean just Saturday. Sabbath means a day of rest. And since it was a high day, Sabbath was Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of that week. So the only reason they say Jesus died on Friday is because it says the next day was the Sabbath. Well, duh. Read the text. It says it was a high day. Sabbath means rest. There's a book, $2, called Why I'm Not a Seventh-day Adventist that we have at our ministry. We don't advertise it. The author's a little, you know, rude, crude, crass, and mean. But it's got good stuff in there. And he goes through all the different references about the Sabbath and how the Sabbath is not always on Saturday. Here we go. It says, "They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away." Yep, correct. John 19. They didn't want him on the cross on the Sabbath. And breaking the legs of a person being crucified, see, the breathing, they die of suffocation usually. Because they have to push up on the nail in their feet to get air in their lungs, and then that hurts so bad they have to let down and hang on the nails in their hands while they breathe out, and it's constantly pushing up, you know, and relaxing, and so it's just excruciating pain just to breathe. So when they break the legs, now they can't push up, and so they just suffocate. So they want to make sure they died on that day. Okay, yeah, good point. Jesus was crucified on Wednesday. Write that one down. Goofball 829 writes in, "Hello, Dr. Oven. Thanks for your help on Melchizedek yesterday. I was listening to you talk about the different translations and how a lot of them are not accurate. What are your thoughts on the New King James Version? Is it a good translation?" It is probably the least poisonous of all of them out there. However, it is still contains some very serious problems. There is a booklet called "Do We Need the New King James Version?" I gave the phone number yesterday about that. Hey, Leah, do you have that one again? "Do We Need the New King James Version?" Remember that little booklet? We had it here. Might be in my piling system on the table. We're going to sell it, and I think we ordered it. I don't know, but let me get you the phone number out of the front, and you can call these people and get it directly from them. It's about 150 pages or so. Really got good stuff on the problems with the New King James. And the book is by Chris Sherburn, and it's 760-912-0170. And once again, 760-912-0170. Good stuff on the New King James. Okay, here we go. Where'd we leave off here? My screen is hopping around here as they send me new ones here. Doug, 1-2-3, 1-2-4-3. "It's amazing that even 2.5 years after you did the Answering the Critics series, that I can still watch it, go to the websites you're talking about, and read with what you say word for word. Those anti-Hoven websites haven't changed a thing." Well, Doug, 1-2-4-3, email them and tell them to change it. Update their site. Yeah, I know. We did that 2.5 years ago. They don't get it. Okay. It says, "I was emailing one site about Revelation 13:16 and how modern versions corrupt it by saying on their right hand instead of in the right hand like King James says. And then they replied and said, there is no Greek support for the King James to use at Revelation 13. Do you know if that's true?" No, that is not true. What they're doing is they're going by the Alexandrian manuscript Greek. There's the problem. They need to stick with the King James. We'll start there and answer that question tomorrow. No, I won't. I'll be gone. Yeah, we'll be back tomorrow. See you then. Bye.